Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We've got good, bad, and crazy martinis for you today, as usual. And, Jim, we don't really know too many of the details about the good martini. We just know it's probably on the way. And that's because on Wednesday, the San Diego City Council announced that their mediation attempts have produced a settlement of the scandal surrounding embattled Mayor Bob Filner. This report comes to us from Ed Morrissey at hotair.com. He says the settlement agreement won't be announced until tomorrow, meaning Friday, and that is because the city council needs to approve of the agreement in a closed-door session, and that vote won't take place until Friday. At the same time, folks seem to have a pretty good idea of what's going on here. Essentially, they're going to get Filner out of office in exchange for doing something the council didn't want to do, and that's pay his legal fees. The fear was that Filner would challenge the council's decision not to pay his legal fees, and that could have dragged everything on for months or years. And apparently he had a relatively strong legal case to make them pay his fees, so the city might have lost in the end anyway. So they avoid all that, but they do have to pay his legal fees, but Filner's gone. So at least we got that, it seems.
You know, Greg, I guess this is good news. Look, anything that gets Bob Filner out of office, I suppose, is good news. I'm just kind of struck by the term that there's going to be a potential settlement. And I'm left thinking, what's to settle? I mean, it's not like the city of San Diego did anything wrong to Bob Filner. And so the idea that, you know, at some point taxpayers are going to have to pay for some of his legal bills and maybe he's going to get off the hook from a sexual harassment lawsuit from Gloria Allred, like, this doesn't feel like an enormous amount of justice because nobody else did anything wrong here except Bob Filner. And yet somehow Bob Filner is holding out, basically, and insisting that, you know, give me what I want and then maybe I'll go away. We'll have to see what the particular details are here. I am glad to see the DNC finally issued a resolution calling on him to resign. Are we up to 16, 17, or 18 women?
18, I think.
Once the number of women accusing you of sexual harassment has a margin of error, once it's a sample size large enough to include, like, it says something about the shamelessness of our politicians. And while it's good that he's getting, you know, out of there, it does say something that is effectively holding the city hostage and demanding concessions from the city for doing what any honorable man would have done. Having said that, of course, we proved a long time ago that Bob Filner is not an honorable man.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much right. And, of course, we're assuming that he is going to be leaving office. Ed Morrissey's article suggested that Filner himself was seen packing boxes in the wake of this mediation being reached. So it would seem to indicate that he's on his way out, which is good. And now San Diego can focus on the Chargers. So on to martini number two now, Jim. And stop me if you've heard this broken record before. It turns out that Obamacare is not so good for people. This latest development being reported in many different sources yesterday, this one from Fox News, both the University of Virginia and UPS telling their employees recently they are no longer offering spousal coverage to those able to obtain insurance elsewhere, meaning thousands of Americans will no longer be able to choose the benefits they prefer. The UVA said Wednesday this is only one of many major changes coming to their health plans as the result of Obamacare. University says the changes are necessary because the law is projected to add $7.3 million to the cost of the university's health plan in 2014 alone. Similarly, UPS partially blamed the new health law for the change, which is estimated to affect roughly 15,000 employee spouses. The rising cost of health care combined with the costs associated with the Affordable Care Act have made it increasingly difficult to continue providing the same level of benefits. Jim, this doesn't surprise anyone, but at what point does the administration admit that it's not just conservative Tea Party types who are saying this is a train wreck?
Probably never, Greg. I mean, they are wedded to it. I remember in the discussions we've been having about whether the Republicans should threaten a government shutdown or attempt to force the Democrats and President Obama to sign a budget that would defund Obamacare or let the government shut down. A president is never going to fold on a piece of legislation named after himself. This is his legacy. He can't give up on it. He can't backtrack on it. He can't admit the mistakes. Even if, I mean, you mentioned the numbers of UPS and University of Virginia employees. There's a consulting firm called Towers Watson that basically said that 4% of large employers are doing that this year and another 8% doing it in 2014. So we're up to 12%. And it just is probably going to spread. That this is, you know, once companies and large employers like this realize that this is one of the ways you can, you're allowed to get rid of costs, you can basically say, look, well, I'm going to cover my employee, but not the spouse. And perhaps even more ominously, you know, Obamacare, it requires employers to cover kids, even the way up to kids in their mid-20s. Well, yes, but the employer is allowed to pass on the entire cost of child coverage onto the employee. So, yeah, you get coverage, but you end up paying up at the wazoo for it, and that basically doesn't do much, since the whole point of it is called the Affordable Care Act. If you keep hiking premiums, or if your spouse has to then get, you know, pay separately through their other employer, well, then, gee, everything that is designed to simplify healthcare coverage is, in fact, making it worse. And I, you know, mentioned this on Twitter yesterday, and somebody said, well, yeah, but they'll save a lot of money through the exchanges. One, that's not the case, certainly in New Jersey, where basically everybody's going to have to pay at least $100 a month more from the bare bones plan that was popular for about 100,000 people in that state. What's more, remember the whole promise was, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan.
Right.
And now a whole bunch of spouses of employees at UPS in Virginia are being told, no, that's not the case. If it had been sold as you're going to have to lose your plan, this never would have passed. This never would have, you know, it's never polled well, but it would have polled even worse. So each one of these examples is good. We can say, we told you so. But it's very frustrating because it looks like this thing is a steamroller right now. And there are not a lot of options to prevent this thing from further going into law and you know, getting it to be repealed.
Way to go, Chief Justice Roberts. Way to go.
Yeah.
All right. On to the crazy martini now. And for those who paid attention to the Bradley Manning case, he was sentenced yesterday to 35 years in prison for leaking about 750,000 pages of classified military documents to WikiLeaks. He immediately started the public campaign for a presidential pardon. And if that weren't enough on the public relations front, we get this gem on Thursday morning in a statement read on the Today Show, quote, "As I transition into this next phase of my life, I want everyone to know the real me. I am Chelsea Manning. I am female. Given the way that I feel and have felt since childhood, I want to begin hormone therapy as soon as possible. I hope that you will support me in this transition." A lot of folks way on the left, like Amanda Marcotte over at Slate, saying everyone must refer to Bradley Manning now as she and use of female pronouns and all this stuff. No. And secondly, Manning's lawyer, David Coombs, now forcing this on the taxpayer, telling Today that he hopes officials at Fort Leavenworth Military Prison will provide his client the hormone therapy. He says Leavenworth would do the right thing and provide that, Coombs said. If Fort Leavenworth does not, then I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that they are forced to do so. Jim, pretty sure taxpayers aren't going to have a lot of tolerance for that.
Apparently they've already, you know, put out a statement saying the Army does not provide these sorts of things. I do think we've reached the point where if you were reading a novel about an Army private who decided to release a whole bunch of secrets, and you got to this part in the later chapters, you'd probably put the book down saying, oh, come on. This plot twist is way too far-fetched. It's way too, come on. You just throw the book across the room and say the hell with it. The other thing I'm waiting for is for him to then say, well, it wasn't me, Chelsea Manning, who leaked all those secrets. It was that bad Bradley Manning. I'm a completely different person. Beyond that, it's tough to relate to somebody who's really got that many issues with their gender. I did actually see some interesting comments on a Facebook friend today who had worked in the prison system and had to deal with a transgender prisoner. And apparently this is like the biggest headache in the whole wide world to prisons, because you don't want to put this person in solitary, but you know, I guess there are certain rules for that, but you don't necessarily want to put them in with the general population. We are a binary gender culture, and people who want to come along and change that are throwing a lot of new complications into what had once been a pretty simple system for sorting people out. Are you male or are you female? If the answer is in between, you know, the other next question is, if this is genuinely some issue that Brad Shelley, whatever her, you know, whoever his or her name is now, that all of a sudden, like, was this what drove the desire to release all the secrets? Was this, you know, like some sort of psychological issues that Bradley Chelsea was working out? You're kind of left wondering how out of some, you know, psychological issue, a giant issue of national security has grown out of this. It's utterly kind of bizarre and weird and frustrating. And again, the other thing, also intriguing angle to all this, I saw a few people commenting on Twitter that basically this is a new victim card being played by Bradley Manning, Chelsea Manning, Bradley Chelsea, that basically, it's not just now the issue is not the crimes committed and the, you know, sharing of classified information with everybody in the whole wide world and you know, endangering U.S. allies and things like that. Now it's about the gender change or the argument about transgenders and all that stuff instead of the actual crimes committed. And it's kind of a, I suppose there's a part of me that admires the audaciousness of the PR maneuver here. but in the end, you know, look, Bradley Chelsea is somebody who committed a crime and is going to go to prison for 30 some years over it, you know, or maybe, you know, a slightly lesser amount with time served and good behavior and all that stuff. But ultimately, the gender matters less than the crimes committed, I would argue.
And there's a lot of people who think he should have gotten a whole lot more and are surprised he didn't get convicted on aiding the enemy. I think you're onto something in terms of broadening the base for his appeal or his push for a pardon here. He's got the far-left anti-war crowd. He's got the Ron Paul far-right anti-war crowd. And now he's looking for some other demographic to throw in here.
You know, Greg, you kind of wonder if Bradley Chelsea Manning is just kind of collecting different oppressed minorities that he could claim to be a portion of. At some point, maybe he'll claim he's got some sort of disability. He may claim mental illness. He may claim he's left-handed. Just basically just start assembling these things and say, look, you know, if you're a member of this particular oppressed group, you need to stand by me. And probably try to turn himself into a PR crew, you know, turn himself into a cause celeb. I'm rather skeptical that's going to happen. But I suppose once you've just been convicted to prison for 35 years, you're willing to look at some new options in terms of getting an appeal.
He's got at least, what, 6 years before he's up for parole? 35 years, I still think, is a gift. So get comfy. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you on Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us today. No three martini lunch on Friday, but Jim and I will be back with you on Monday for the next edition of the three martini lunch.